Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the test of truth. So let's turn in our Bibles and let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27 again together. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning those who were trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, on the last broadcast, we were going over the three points that John is making in these 10 verses. Number one, realizing the danger. Number two, the ability and power that is given to us so that we may realize the danger. And number three, the way to fight against the danger. And on the last broadcast, we were looking at the first point, realizing the danger. And I want to finish that point today. So in order to understand just what danger John is talking about, let's read verses 18 and 19 again together. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. Now here in verse 18, John tells us that one of the signs that we can know for sure that we are living in the last days is by what is happening to the issue of truth. Many times when someone speaks of the last days, the subject of the nation of Israel and other world events come to the forefront, and that's fine, because surely those areas do tell us where we live. But John, Peter, and Paul spoke not only about what was going to happen externally out in the world to determine if we were living in the last days, but also about what was going to occur internally inside the walls of the church among believers to determine just what time it was. For example, right here in verse 18, John tells us that the rise of many antichrists, the rise of people who fight against Christ, who fight against the truth, who are opposed to biblical Christianity, that the rise of these people prove beyond any doubt that we are living in the last days. The Apostle Paul echoed that very same thinking that John was using when he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. So let's read that passage together. Look at verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, the word that was translated here into English as difficult comes from the Greek word that means perilous or dangerous. And this has to do with something that is life-threatening or some kind of difficulty that is very dangerous. This word was normally used to denote a great imminent danger like terrorism or something that threatens the existence or of the way of life of most people. So what is it that Paul says that is going to occur in the last days that is so dangerous that Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit to warn us? Look at verses 2 through 8. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. So we can see that the Apostle Paul thought that the rise of those who are reprobate concerning the Christian faith and the rise of false teaching and the proliferation of false doctrine inside the church was so serious and so dangerous that he termed it to be difficult or perilous or life-threatening. So when John calls these people antichrists, John was not just calling them names. He was not just insulting them or being a smart aleck. John was accurately describing those people who pose a very real and serious danger to the Christian church. So we can see that the antichrists are the very same people as the certain persons that Jude talked about in his epistle, and the very same men whom Paul says here are men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the Christian faith. Every single apostle knew that the only thing that distinguishes Christianity from everything else is doctrine, what we believe and what we trust in. So it was the job of the apostles to create and define Christian doctrine through what they wrote, and by doing this, they were establishing Christianity and the church on the earth. So to be a Christian means something. To be the church means something. And truth, divine truth, inspired truth, defines for us what these things are. So without truth, we cannot know Christianity. Without understanding the meaning of the special, unique, inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative, relevant, and eternal words of Scripture, we do not know and we cannot know truth. So it was through the words of the apostles, which were written down and preserved for us, and only through their words, that we know about the Christian faith. Therefore, without knowing what these men meant by what they wrote, or by having what these men wrote distorted, or altered, or changed, or hidden, or added to, or taken away from, then Christianity itself will not be known. And if Christianity is not known to us accurately and rightly and fully, then Jesus will not be known to us. Because we cannot and we must not form opinions about Jesus outside of what Scripture teaches. To do so is to make up something about the Lord that isn't true, and it isn't reliable, and it is not eternal, because it's not inspired. And that is exactly what the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the other cults have done. Everything that we know about Jesus that is true did not come from any other source than the Bible. Everything else that anyone else has said or written about Jesus is not inspired and did not come from God. And if we don't know about Jesus, then we won't know about salvation, and we won't know about heaven or hell or righteousness or the church or sin, and we will simply make all this up as we go along, and that is exactly what John says not to do. Without the words of the apostles that have been recorded and preserved for us in Scripture, we are simply fabricating our own religion based upon our own human logic and our own human reasoning. So because all of that is true, what these men wrote and the meaning of their words and the practical application of their words into the lives of all believers became paramount. Therefore, any distortion, any change, any addition, any subtraction, Any twisting of meanings from the exact true meaning of what these men wrote was not tolerated in the early church. And it should not be tolerated today either. Those who faithfully taught and preached and expounded upon the reality of what the apostles wrote in Scripture were called good and faithful ministers. And those who deviated from what these men wrote were called antichrists. And the antichrists were called on the carpet and they were presented before the church to give an account of what they were teaching and why they had taken it upon themselves to teach contrary to divine revelation by the fathers of the church. And those who repented were restored back into good graces. But those who refused to recant, those who refused to submit to the authority of Scripture, went through the four-step process that Jesus initiated in the 18th chapter of Matthew. And if they continued to teach false doctrine, they were excommunicated from the church and they were branded as heretics. Now, I realize that many of you right now are cringing as though I just said something that is mean, cruel, harsh, or even unchristian. But I didn't do this, beloved. The Apostle John and Peter and Paul did this. And they did it on instructions from none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If a person who lays claim to being saved is determined to disobey Scripture and is determined to teach contrary to what God has said, and that person will not repent, what are you supposed to do? Give him your pulpit? Let him teach impressionable sheep? Allow him access to the souls of men? John didn't think so. Neither did Paul, neither did Peter, and neither did Jesus. So after repeated warnings, after refusing to graciously repent and teach only what Scripture teaches, after being warned repeatedly with tears by the leadership of the church, these heretics were banished from the church and labeled for what they really are, infidels and antichrists. So where do antichrists come from? Did they come from Syria? Did they come from the Middle East? Did they come from some other country? Not in the sense that John is talking about here. Look at where John says the antichrists come from by reading 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. The many antichrists that John refers to in verse 18 came from inside the church. These are the men who crept into the church just like Jude taught, and they sat with the saints and they pretended to love Jesus. They went through the motions and they were at one time a part of the visible body. But because they were not saved and because they really didn't love Jesus and they really didn't love the words of Jesus, they soon began to depart from the faith. And they began to teach things contrary to sound doctrine. And they began to influence other people. As soon as it became apparent that these men were teaching false things, they were confronted about what they were teaching by the leaders of the church who have a divine mandate to guard the souls of the sheep, and they were called to account. And some of them repented and believed. But other notable men refused the wise and godly counsel of John and Peter and Paul and the other apostles, and they rebelled against the truth. And John says that these are the men who left the Christian faith, and they went out into the world to propagate their false teaching upon the souls of the men. And these are the antichrists that John is speaking about here. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.